In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that struck me the most these last couple of weeks with the passing of my father, and I know this is probably something a lot of you that have lost both parents especially have gone through, was going back into his house for the first time and knowing that he wasn't going to be there anymore. And looking around, I was just gazing at all the different things, all the different things that had been accrued over the years. So much evidence of a life being lived, okay, whether it's a television set or a kitchen with stuff still in the refrigerator or a frumpled bed or towels not put up, all these different sorts of things. And it struck me so hard that we are, of course, in our lives right now, as we all are, and we are doing, many of the things that he had done for those 92 years, living our lives, accruing things, doing what needs to be done every day, fixing the house, replacing things that needed to be replaced, and keep adding things to our own little inheritance. But yet, it was as if these things had just been abandoned, left, as if he had just decided one day to get up and walk away from it all. And yet the energy and motion of that life still remained somehow in that house. In other words, it's as if it had been divorced, as the soul is divorced from the body. So the things that we set energy to and give motion to in our everyday lives were still pulsating, but slowly fading. It was a very strange sort of feeling, because it reminded me of what the Lord says all through the gospel about the things that are the most important, the one thing needful in our lives, the one thing in terms of following Jesus Christ, in terms of adding that salted ascetic effort to our lives, so that even while we may have all of these accretions, we're not too attached to them. Because when I looked in there at that house and saw all these things just at a still, it really made me think about what is the most important thing. Because of all the times that we try, all of the times that we work hard towards accomplishing certain things for family and personal fulfillment and all these other things, as important as they are, when we're gone, they all come to a halt. We are their lifeline. We are the things that animate them, that give them any sort of importance at all. But yet, when we leave this world, we're not taking one thing with us, not one little thing. They are just absolutely stopped in their tracks. And what it most affected me about was thinking in terms of the real meaning of life and what life is all about. Because if there was no God, if there was no Savior, and something like this happens, and a man or a woman departs this life, and we look at our lives from that perspective, it really is quite a bleak thing. Because we see that everything that we do and everything that we have comes to naught. Doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how lowly we are. It doesn't matter how great we are, how rich or poor that we are. We all end up in the same way, and everything that we've left behind us comes to a stop. It just ends. Were you in the midst of that PhD? It stops. Were you in the midst of a great promotion at work? It's over with. It's done. What about that great new yacht you just bought? And if anyone's bought a yacht, please come see me. But what about that yacht? If it sits there. it gets handed off to somebody else, or the state takes it, or something like that. It just dissolves. And so I began thinking from that point about the idea, the very idea of gratitude for the things that we have in this life, but yet at the same time keeping them at a distance. Are we grateful for the things that God gives us? And are we willing to return that gratitude to everyone else in this world, but especially to our Savior? Are we willing to turn to Him and say, thank you, because we know that it's just here for a short while? Even in today's gospel, I find it particularly fascinating because we have a group of people who really had nothing. They're lepers. And especially back then, leprosy was, it was a curse. It was an uncleanness. It was, if you came into contact with them, it was like touching a dead body, which was forbidden. And these men and women were condemned to sitting there day after day and just literally watching their flesh fall off their bodies. It was not a pleasant thing. They had absolutely nothing compared to the things that you and I have every day. Yet what is so fascinating about this is that with human nature being the same, no matter what our station in life or what we may or may not have, our reactions tend to be the same. So these lepers are shouting at the Lord, Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The Lord doesn't say anything about healing them. They were a long distance away, and He just sort of acknowledges them. He doesn't say, be healed, you know, go in peace, something like this. It's just, go, show yourselves to the priest. And they turn and they do that. And by exercising that faith that, well, we should really do what He's saying to us, even though we might not know exactly what this means, they were healed as they went on their way. And yet, none of them came back to give gratitude to the Lord. Even in that situation where they have absolutely nothing and they're living together in a colony somewhere, as far away as possible from the environs of the city or from any sort of population, even then, when their lives were changed, were turned around, were given an open door for something new and wonderful to happen, to be mingling with people again, to literally be raised from the dead, to be coming alive, yet in their joy, they forget the desperation that they had just been through when they were beseeching the Lord. It happened that quickly. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That desperate, and yet immediately you turn, you're healed, and you walk away happy, and you don't even bother to give thanks, except for the one, as I've talked about so many times in here, those wonderful, despised Samaritans. They were absolute anathema to the Jews. They were absolute heretics. They were perverters of the faith. And yet, if you look at the Gospels, it's tough to find one bad thing that a Samaritan has done in the Gospel. They're always doing something that is good that the Lord or one of the Gospel writers is pointing out. And in this case, it was someone who was not only plagued by this horrible disease, but was considered an outcast as well religiously. And yet he turns and he comes back and gives thanks. And the Lord incredulously says, were there not 9 others healed? Where are they? But then go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And we're the same way. But in many ways, we're worse than the lepers. We have the leprosy of sin. The leprosy of sin that the fathers all talk about, that we need to be cleansed of day in and day out. And we don't think of ourselves like that as lepers, do we? I mean, you look in the mirror, you know, maybe a bad morning or something, but you're not thinking of yourself as looking like a leper, okay? And so we don't think of ourselves as bad people that are doing horrible things or as particularly plagued, certainly not like these lepers we hear in the gospel today. And yet, every time that you lie to someone or you cheat someone or you take something from someone that you shouldn't, or the most popular thing that we do, judging someone, we contribute to that leprosy that is innate to our nature. But yet after the Christmas and Theophany seasons now, we see that the Lord comes and He removes this leprosy from us. That's why we hear this gospel today. The gospels during this time of year, the Lucan gospels, if you're following a particular typikon, they get mixed up. So you might have the 10th Gospel of Luke 1 week and the 8th Gospel the second week. And we've gone way beyond those, but this is the 12th Sunday of Luke. And this Gospel was moved here for an especial reason. And that's to show us that the Lord now comes fully incarnate, fully baptized. He comes to save us. And He comes to remove the stench, the leprosy of sin from us. And that's why He gives us this particular story in the gospel. That's why it's here. Because it shows us that even in our own filthy condition, all we have to do is have faith and ask Him, and He will grant these things to us. He will remove that stench from us, that stench of sin. But then He adds to it. And that's the idea of gratitude, of being thankful for the things that He has done. Because as He shows us today, most people are not going to be thankful. Most people are just like these other lepers. We turn to God when we're desperate, don't we? When something really weighing upon us, something really difficult is coming upon us, and we start praying. Oh boy, do we start praying. It may be against hope, but we even start praying. And on and on and on. And yet something good then happens. And what do? Do we keep praying? No, we stop. We stop praying. We don't give thanks. We are fair weather Christians. Oh, we're there in the tough times. But when the good times are around, when things are going nicely, when all is happy and the sun is shining and it's a clear night, we turn away and we don't speak to God. That's what He's telling us today. How important it is to cultivate what is really a strong virtue, the virtue of gratitude, the virtue of thanking God for everything that He gives us, night and day, day after day. Because even though our lives aren't perfect, and all of us, where you ask someone how they are, they say, well, I'm fine, but. There's always something that's there that we don't quite like that doesn't fit in real nicely for us. But even if that's the case, things generally go well. And yet we're not thankful for the things that are going well. And that's why we need to turn. We need to turn every day and thank Him. And if you look at your morning prayers, there are many prayers that are in there that do just this, if we would but pray them as well. I thank Thee, O Lord. That's one of the prayers of St. Basil the Great from the morning prayers. Or we thank Thee, Lord. We start with that. We start with the idea of gratitude. And if it's not gratitude for something that's going especially well in our lives, then it's gratitude for the simple ability to thank God for the gift of life that is present in the breath that we draw as soon as we wake up. Because all of life is a gift of God to be used for His glory. And that glory of His comes back to us and leads us into eternal life. Whatever we give, no matter how small, God is going to multiply it an eternity in terms of what He does for us, and especially as He leads us through this life into the next. So maintain that sense of gratitude. Maintain that sense of joy. Again, so often I've seen over the years so many Christians, they're... Some of them just don't look like happy people to me. I mean, they've got everything, absolutely everything, and yet they're just so down, it seems like. Why? Why are you down? What's the worst that's going to happen to you? You're going to die. What happens after that? You've got all of eternity to be with God. Huh? I mean, is that a downer? Salvation starts here, and we go all our lives with Him in things that we can't even imagine. Astounding things. Wonderful things. Things that are so great that, well, like St. Paul says, you know, eyes not seen nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. We've got to keep that in mind. It's starting right now. Heaven starts right now in this community with this great thanksgiving that we're doing now. Gratitude, thanksgiving, the Eucharist, Eucharista, thanksgiving. It's what we are doing. What do we say? A mercy of peace. Mercy, peace, a sacrifice of praise. God gives us mercy and peace, and we offer our sacrifice, which is praise, gratitude to Him who has given us all these things. So I don't see any dour faces when I turn around and give a blessing and somebody's, you know, come on. Think about why you're here. You're here to express that joy, to receive that joy. And if you're not, you ought to smack yourself upside the head and say, look, am I a Christian or not? Do I believe these things or not? And if you don't, examine yourselves as to why you're having trouble believing them and explore them and deepen your faith and continue to pray. Yes, you need to deepen your faith and you need to learn more about your faith. Don't skim the surface. Goodness, there's so much in the Orthodox faith to be mined that will add to the joy that you could experience every day. But you got to put in the effort, like anything else. It takes work. Approach God. Draw near unto Him, and He will draw near unto you. It's a very simple thing to remember. So may this joy that this one returning leper experienced today spread to all of this congregation of lepers. And I'm the first among them. And show us all the riches and glory to be found in Jesus Christ. Amen.